Hollywood has the Oscars. People in expensive business suits, starting today, have Davos. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. The winter gathering of the powerful kicks off today in the Alpine town of Davos, Switzerland. The Prime Minister of Japan gives the keynote address later today. BBC business reporter Anthony Rubin is in Davos. Good morning.
Good morning.
So it all kicked off today, and I understand that the keynote address for the World Economic Forum this time around is going to be the man who gave the name to Abenomics.
Yes, much in anticipation of his talk, we'll be looking at how he feels it's been going so far. And there's a fairly big delegation in from Japan, so they'll be talking a fair bit during the week.
Because he did preside over the economy that is, at least on paper, is posting a dramatic turnaround. The Japanese experiment in stimulus is really quite striking.
Yeah, it's a very sunny morning here in Davos, and a lot of people are seeing that as a reflection of the way the economy is going. It was a much gloomier World Economic Forum here this time last year, and a lot of people are coming in to say, actually, we're seeing a bit of a recovery now.
One of the major themes that's supposed to be front and center is income inequality. Have people been warming to that theme yet?
There has been a lot of talk about that. The figures out from Oxfam the other day that the richest 85 people in the world had more money than half of the rest of the world's population, 3.5 billion people. The boss of Unilever at a breakfast this morning was laying into bankers and business leaders, and for that being the state of affairs. And I'm not sure the delegates were all entirely happy about what they were hearing.
But that's always the question that swirls around this gathering at Davos, is people talk about these crucial issues, but really, can they do anything about it?
I think it's important to divide up the stuff that goes on at Davos between the things where it's really important to be talking about them and the things where it's important to then go off and do something. And what Davos is really good at is the areas where actually you need to have that conversation. And in those sorts of areas, it's a really great forum.
The BBC's Anthony Rubin reporting from Davos. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The financial data and news company Bloomberg has a poll of international investors today going into the Davos gathering. Its global poll finds that 59% believe the global economy is improving. That's the highest percentage in 5 years. But these things are volatile. In November, which isn't that long ago, only 33% of investors surveyed were upbeat. One odd sighting at Davos last evening, actor Matt Damon receiving an award. Damon got the Crystal Award for his work with Water.org, which pushes for clean water and sanitary facilities around the world. Damon opened by pretending to read his Golden Globes acceptance speech that he never gave. We'd like to check in now and again with critic Blake Gopnik about the intersections between art and the marketplace. And something shiny has caught his attention on display in New York. Good morning, Blake.
Good morning, David.
So New York's Metropolitan Museum has this exhibit now of fancy jewelry. Jewelry by Jar, J-A-R, Joel A. Rosenthal, an artist working in Paris. It's bugging you, Blake. Why?
Boy, there are a lot of reasons. Let's start out with saying that the jewelry in this show would make Liberace think it's a little tacky. We're talking butterflies covered in gems, roses covered in gems, anything you can think of covered in gems.
All right, so you don't like it. I mean, someone else might like it, but it's not to your taste. But there's something else that's getting under your skin.
Yeah, you bet. What really gets to me, I guess, about this is I think it reflects a profound change in our culture. And that is the dominance of the entire society, economy, and culture by the 0.1%.
That's how you see it. The wealthy are casting their tastes across the rest of the culture.
Yeah, right into the Metropolitan Museum of Art. I happen to be one of the few critics in this country, maybe the world, who cares deeply about contemporary jewelry, the most important jewelry being made today. And let me tell you, Mr. J.A.R. ain't there at all. He's never had a serious show curated by a serious curator. No one has thought he was worthy of being in a show until the Met decided now.
But you're worried that the reason, perhaps, a lot of the reason that he may be at the Metropolitan is that wealthy people are buying his stuff.
What worries me is that we've sort of all bought into the notion that money itself is what matters most in the culture. And the Met, for the Met to have bought into that too, worries me a whole lot.
But you know, when I go to the Metropolitan or many a museum, there's a lot of things that rich people commissioned on the wall, in the display case?
Yeah, I mean, what worries me is it used to be that lucre was a little bit filthy. So the reason that rich people got involved with museums was a kind of money laundering, right? They could clean up their reputation by caring about things that were above money, things like great art. In this case, what we have happening is that rich people are taking the things they already care about and installing them in museums. There's no laundering going on here because lucre ain't filthy anymore.
Or I suppose, I mean, forgive me, this is a little reductionist, but you're saying that fine art may be purchased by wealthy people, but just because a wealthy person likes something, it doesn't make it fabulous.
Absolutely. That's perfect. We're not seeing yachts in the Metropolitan Museum yet, though that could come. And let me just say, it's the weirdest thing because the Met does some incredibly serious scholarly shows. So I can't figure out why they're doing a show like this, except maybe that some of their board members are rather fond of this kind of object.
Blake Gopnik is an art critic based in New York and is currently writing a biography of Andy Warhol. Blake, thank you.
Thank you, David.
And Christie's having a fine morning, the auction house, not the New Jersey governor. Christie's of London reported today that it had record sales in 2013, up 16% to $7.4 billion. Christie's says a lot of its first-time buyers at work here. In the last year, the privately held company did big auctions for the first time in places like Mumbai, India, and in Shanghai. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.